presented by Chafin Lujan Andry Law Firm, doing good by doing right. Steelers draft stuff does huge numbers for us. Ratings are always good. Hits on our website, still, even days after the draft, go through the roof. Whenever we get on the topic of the draft and what the Steelers did. And for me, few are better than our next guest, Pro Football Network, NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline, who said at the Senior Bowl, going back to when the Steelers were down in Mobile, he said, look out for them. They love Najee Harris. They got scouts all over this guy. And then everybody else jumped on the bandwagon. But for me, he was the Pied Piper of Steelers and Najee Harris, connecting those dots before anybody else. And he's with us now on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis. Tony, I don't know if it was a close call because of some of the moves that got made before Harris at 24, but it would have been interesting if Zaven Collins or Kristen Darrisaw were still there, don't you think?
I don't think Zaven Collins had any opportunity to fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 24 because there were a host of teams before him that might have selected him. Darrisaw, I think Minnesota basically hit the jackpot. They were ready to take Darrisaw at 14. They saw a trade. They got the trade opportunity. They got 2 third-round picks from the Jets. They moved down, and they got the player that they wanted early on. So I think it would have been tough for either of those players really to fall to the Steelers.
Tony, though, do you think that the Steelers, even if one of them had been available, were dead set enough on Najee Harris that that was going to be their pick more or less no matter what?
That was the information I've had, as you guys said, since January. And granted, we'll never know, but that card got up there real quick.
Yes, it did.
It didn't seem like there was any sort of hesitancy. You know, they didn't use a lot of time, and they ran up there with that card with Najee Harris's name on it as well. I thought they should have. Mm-hmm. I don't buy into you shouldn't take a running back in the first round. I think this guy is an ideal fit, not only from a playing skill point of view, but from a personality point of view. And he fills a need. So they got really one of the best running back. I think they got one of the better players in this year's draft. When I say better, top 20 talent with the 24th selection. And everything points north on this selection.
Do you think a team was ready to make a legitimate offer to trade into that spot? Tony, could they have moved back and gotten extra picks like Minnesota did, you think, for 24 or not really?
No, I mean, I didn't expect that many trades in round one, and I don't think we saw that many. So the trades were really for, there were three really good backs at the top of the draft. Harris, Travis Etienne, who quickly came off the board right after Harris,
yep,
and Javonte Williams. And then it kind of fell off. So I think that my point is teams were trading up for the offensive linemen, who were basically off the board at that point,
yep,
except for Tevin Jenkins. And the cornerbacks,
yep,
who were pretty much off the board unless you were going to roll the dice on a
Farley.
So I don't know that they got too many offers for that.
Okay.
Tony, what did you make of the rest of their draft past Harris? Did you like what they did in the second round with Freiermuth in particular?
I'm not a big Freiermuth guy, but I think like Harris, I mean, he fits the identity. He fits what the Steelers like to do at the tight end position, a guy who – you know, is a taller guy who's a real good pass catcher. He's an okay blocker. He still has to round out his game, but I thought it was filled the need, and they got a solid player who fits the system. Mm-hmm. I thought Kendrick Green in round three was a sensational pick. He could play guard. He could play center. He is a real good athlete that's got a high amount of upside. His best football's ahead of him, and he was quickly rising up draft boards.
Okay.
I mean, some of the later picks, I like Dan Moore as a developmental tackle. I think Buddy Johnson, again, fills the need. He's a running chase inside linebacker. I thought the selection of Quincy Roach in round six was an absolute steal, and I think that is a selection that they're going to look back on fondly, and people are going to wonder why Quincy Roach lasted as long as he did. Again, fills a need, good football player. There were some questions about his athleticism, which I believe he answered during his pro day. That, to me, was one of the biggest bargains of the draft.
Tony Pauline, Pro Football Network, one of the best draft analysts out there. He had Harris pegged to the Steelers for months, the first to really do it. He told us that, and he's back with us here on The Fan to break down the Steelers draft class. So you said a lot there, Tony. Let me circle back to what you said about Pat Freiermuth. So you said solid pick, fits the team identity, but that you personally are not a big fan of his from a scouting standpoint. Why?
Well, let me rephrase that. You know, people were talking about him as a potential late first-round pick, early second-round choice. I never had him that early. I did have him as my second tight end, but I thought he was a guy who didn't work out, so we really didn't know. You know, we had no testing times on him. He was someone who was primarily used as a pass catcher at Penn State, lined him up oftentimes in the slot and even out wide. Really wasn't even asked to block as much as, say, Kyle Pitts was.
Okay.
So on my board, I did not have him graded as highly as others.
Okay.
But I think he went where he should have. I had him in the 50s on my board, and I did have him as the second tight end.
Now, getting back to Roach, when you say that's going to be a guy that will turn out to be an absolute steal, where do you project him? What kind of player do you see him as ultimately, Tony?
I think he's going to be a 3-4 outside linebacker, a guy who can rush the passer, standing over tackle, someone you can use out of a three-point stance on occasion, guy who is intense, instinctive, smart, plays hard every down. I think what's going to happen is, as a rookie, he'll be a rotational pass rusher that you use in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to run a zone blitz, you can drop him off the line of scrimmage and use him in space on occasion. He's a guy who was a real good player at Temple, continued that momentum last year at Miami. And then, like I said, the big question about Roach was, you know, his speed, his athleticism. And then he goes and runs in the 4.6s at Pro Day. I still kind of wonder why a guy that's had such a successful career as he did lasted as long as he did.
You like him more than Highsmith as a player, as a prospect?
I think Highsmith is a better athlete. I think Highsmith may have more upside, but Roach consistently played at a higher level at better competition.
Hmm.
Tony, big picture, how much better do you think the Steelers made themselves with this draft class, at least on paper?
Oh, hands down, they filled needs with good players. I think that, you know, everyone's going to look at Harris. I want to look at how Kendrick Green does. I think they're a much better team now than they were 2 weeks ago. I think if Kendrick Green, the third-round pick, can come in and quickly produce on the offensive line, I think they really got something there. I think this will really help this elevate this draft, and I think they'll really contend in that division.
What did you think of the Loudermilk trade up? Because that's one, every draft person we've talked to, Tony, that does what you do for a living, everyone has said, man, I don't get it. Well, they gave up a better pick next year, didn't have the guy highly rated. Some people we've talked to even said undraftable player. Yeah. What do you make of Isaiah Loudermilk, the defensive lineman they traded back up for?
I had him graded as a seventh-round free agent type guy. But I got to interview him for about 45 minutes before the draft, and I could understand why they would like him, because he is a straightforward guy, an honest guy, talks about what he needed to work on, you know, certain points of his career. And he's a big-bodied guy that can add bulk to his frame, and he plays with decent leverage. He told me he thought his best position was as a three-technique defensive tackle. I think, you know, what the Steelers look at is they're going to put more weight on him, maybe use him as a defensive end in that front and in that defensive front. I can understand why people say, yeah, I didn't have a draftable grade on him. But when you talk to him and when you see where he comes from and you hear him talk and you ask him tough questions and you get the answers that you're not expecting, I could understand why the Steelers traded up and used basically a fifth-round pick on him.
Tony, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what you thought about the punter the Steelers selected in the seventh round, seeing as Andrew and I have just been, we've been amazed at this guy, this big guy with this cannon leg who apparently can also throw the ball on trick plays.
Well, I didn't have him as draftable. He was one of the few guys I actually didn't do a report on. I mean, I do my punters and kickers late, and I only do about a handful of reports, but I think he's a guy that, if he doesn't make the active roster, he's going to be put on a practice squad. He's got to work on his directional punting a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, oftentimes it's easy to kick the laces off the ball, but you got to learn where to place the football at times as a punter. And I think that's what he's got to work on.
Tony Pauline with us from Pro Football Network. Now, you'd be the perfect person to get a straight answer on this question, because we've asked and we've kind of gotten people saying, I don't know, can't tell you. So this Shakur Brown, most of the draft experts, Tony, like you, said third-round grade, corner Michigan State, really good in coverage last year, a little undersized, didn't run a good 40, but definitely a day two pick, maybe day three at worst. He goes undrafted, and the Steelers give him the biggest signing bonus they've ever given an undrafted guy in the Colbert era. What happened with Shakur Brown? How did a corner like this in a pass-happy league go undrafted, Tony?
The combination that he was undersized, the combination that he ran the 4.6s, that's not good. And then his interviews were not up to par. I just talked about how Isaiah Loudermilk just came over so well in one-on-one conversations. I was told that that was not the situation with Shakur Brown. So when you're looking at a guy that's undersized and not as fast as an undersized cornerback should be, just a general cornerback should be, and that he's not coming across all that well in interviews, you're gonna look in other directions. That said, you know, once he's on the field and the ball's in the air, the guy can play. So you know, I would expect him to make the active roster next this coming fall as a potential dimeback.
Okay.
Tony, outside these top three picks that the Steelers made in this draft, who among that next, you know, the rest of the crop of drafted players, I guess I won't include the punter either here because he better win the job, but who among those guys in the fourth, fifth rounds that aren't getting as much attention do you expect to contribute the most? Is it Roche? Is it him on the outside as a situational guy? Or is there somebody else that could slot in and contribute pretty quickly outside those top three picks?
Yeah, I'm going to say Roche because when I look at Dan Moore and when I look at Loudermilk, you're looking at developmental guys. Moore's got to really polish his game. Loudermilk's got to get a little bit bigger and stronger. Norwood was a solid pick, but he's got even worse speed than Shakur Brown. I think Roche is, you know what you're getting with Roche. He doesn't have a high upside, but he doesn't have a lot of downside risk. And he's a guy that you know where you can plug and play him. And as I said, he's not just a tough guy. He's an instinctive guy. He plays disciplined football. So I think that sort of player, sort of you know what you're getting, you get what you see, is someone who, after those three picks, doesn't need a lot of development. He's pretty much NFL ready because he's done basically what the Steelers do. He stood up over tackle at Temple. He's come out of a three-point stance on occasion. I think he is the most plug-and-play ready type of guys after those top three selections.
He's at Tony Pauline, Pauline, on Twitter. He knows the draft as well as anybody. And he probably held his breath when Jake DeGrom exited the game yesterday, like I did, watching the Mets, because that's another thing Tony and I have in common. We're both big Mets fans. So, all right, Tony, great stuff, man. Great to talk to you again, as per usual.
Thanks for having me. I'll speak with you guys next year.
You bet. Yeah. Absolutely. When we're talking about the Desmond Ritters and Malik Willises of the world, Mosey. Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma.
Kenny Pickett.
Can't wait to hear Bill Hillgrove say, Sam Howell, next year. Both calling North Carolina Pitt, and then when Howell is taking snaps
for the Steelers. Quarterback at six overall.
Yes.
Well, there, I did it again. Yep. I've got somebody on Twitter saying that I should... Now, we had Greg in Youngstown call Pomp Show and basically say I should have like a loser leaves town stipulation attached to the Steelers season this year. If the Steelers win the division, I quit. Mm-hmm. This person says Steelers finish first, you quit and move to Cleveland. If they finish last, I'll never say another negative thing to you on Twitter. Second or third is the status quo. We keep sniping at each other. Me leaving town and quitting my job and this person not being mean to me on Twitter, not exactly even stakes. Would you agree, Pony?
I want to get Greg in Uniontown to say it to
Youngstown.
Your face. Youngstown. Why do I keep saying Uniontown? I want him to say it to your face, meaning I don't want to have a remote somewhere where he comes up to you and berates you. I think he needs to call in. I think we need to bury the hatchet with Greg. And
I think he wants the hatchet out and in his hand,
absolutely
Pony. I don't
not.
Think it's there to be buried.
I know both of you guys. I know you much better than Greg. Greg's called the station for years. But I think that there is... I think we could play peacemaker here. I think we can get you two.
Wait, why do we need to have a peacemaker?
You want to dislike the guy? You want to have hate for him?
He and I can exist in opposition to one another. We don't,
I really
not
like
ever,
the draft.
That's like a,
if the Steelers win a division this year, which I think they will, Chris Mohler should just quit the band. Just leave. Go work in Cleveland. If he hates the Steelers so much, if the Steelers win, this guy should just quit the network.
All right. Thanks, Greg. 412-928-9370.
That's still the best part.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Just goes right to the number. His old, steady, old, reliable. Let me reset and put the number out there like I was taught.
The best part of this call.
In the 80s.
The best part of the call, I want to stress, because I did hear maybe the more director's cut, his whole take was about the Pirates until that point, and then as like an add-on, like he stapled it onto the end,
he
threw that
little that out there
humdinger.
About
yes, he was not talking about the Steelers at all.
He couldn't let
he
his opportunity to talk to Bob go by the wayside without taking a shot at you.
I'm actually a little flattered
you
by that.
You live in rent-free? In Greg and
we don't need
Towns,
to have a
Youngstown head. His head.
We don't need to have a reconciliation here between me and Greg because I think I'm.
Well, then how about we
Greg
have him on for a showdown?
Fan.
How about you guys go mano a mano on the air? How about that?
Oh, I don't know. He's coming into Sensei's lair here.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text, and Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Dan Zangrilli will have the leadoff show coming up shortly. It's the PM team on the fan.